Every once in a while, God gives me a message that he wants me to share everywhere I go. Now, when he gives me a message like that, the interesting thing is, this is always the first place I give it. It's always the first place. Now, and it's very humbling because I know the quality of people that come through this place. But this is always the place. Now, I prayed as we were worshiping and things and praying early this morning. Why? I believe because you're a part of the ambassadors that are actually carrying the message. When you hear a message, you're carrying it. You're taking it serious. You're not just looking at your life. You're speaking to the world. And you have a heart for brothers and sisters, many of which have slid. Let's face it. And we've caught ourselves. Everyone in this room has caught themselves sliding a little bit and needed to come back to the Lord. And so there's what God has been doing. He's bringing teacher after teacher after teacher in to raise you up to a place where you can share with these people in a way that they can receive it. Because the way it was done 50 years ago, whatever, it's not the way that people will receive it today. But it's the same truth. It's the same truth they need to hear, and it's the truth that they need to obey. And so I'm speaking actually very positive this morning. And you'll see that as we go along. But I am really excited to be here. One of the chapters that you've had a lot of teaching on, I know because I brought some of it, is Matthew chapter 24 and Luke chapter 21, which has to do, the Bible that I says, have signs of the end of the age, which simply means when Christ would come back again. Now, in one way that's true, in another way I think it's been used against us rather than help us, you know, to label it that way. And I'll tell you why. God recently talked to me and he said, these are conditions. These are conditions that'll be there when Jesus comes back again. A sign, what I would call an absolute sign is, well, okay, Israel had to come back to have some land, right? And so there was a miraculous war that took place, and they have that portion of the land, and they're going to have more. I mean, that was an event that happened. It's there, it's a fact, and you could say, well, yep, second coming of Jesus is definitely closer, for sure. But I want you to think about this. Okay, I'm going to cook some hot dogs. This is the season of hot dogs, or hamburgers, or steaks, or chicken, or whatever you like to cook. But you like to be outside doing this. Now, that's the goal. That's the same thing as saying Jesus is coming back, okay? When those hot dogs are done, you think of that as Jesus is arrived. So, what has to happen? Well, we got to have a place to cook it. Outside, yep, this is the season. Well, you know, back in my day, they had actually fireplaces with grates outside that you cooked on. Today we have different things. We have these grills, all different kinds of grills. And the latest rage is really a revival of the campfire. It has the fire pits, right? Cook your hot dog and make those sandwiches of chocolate and marshmallows over the fire pit. Well, okay, so good. Now we got, but now we have to light a fire. There's no fire, the hot dogs aren't going to cook. So another thing that happens, okay, now there's a fire. Now we have to put the hot dogs over the fire. Doesn't do any good to have them in the package. They got to go over the fire and they have to cook. And all of a sudden, they're done. All of a sudden, they're done and ready to eat. So these are conditions in here, these two chapters that talk about it. And you could say, well, these conditions were there when the apostles were being executed, right? These conditions were in the world when generation after generation has come along. And we in America have been sheltered. We have enjoyed God's presence for a couple hundred years because he allowed us to be founded that way. It was in the heart of the early people to be able to worship and to serve him. And so we've had an enjoyment that I don't know if other countries have really had or not. But I know this much. All the things that we're in here have been going through countries since the time of Christ. And we have been sheltered for those couple hundred years. So now, guess what? It's coming to America. And now you look at 2 years ago. Oh, wow. Some of these things are starting to happen. Oh, yeah. Then this year, wow, I can't believe it. Now we read about the storms, the uncertainties of the weather. And what have we experienced in the last couple of weeks? Hail the size of golf balls. I remember getting little hail, putting it on my fishing creel, throwing trout on top of it, having a nice time with my dad. We never had hail that size. In different areas, they've destroyed a lot of cars. Not just now, but last year there were cars destroyed. There were several storms that came through. Tornadoes. I lived in Nebraska. I know all about tornadoes. Yes, I was there for 2 years. And the interesting thing about tornadoes is you never know where they're going to drop. And when they drop, zoom, and then they're back up. And I saw straw in the side of a barn like a bunch of arrows. Straw is an extremely flimsy thing. And yet there was such a driving force right into the side of the barn. That's the kind of force that's there. Of course, we've seen evil abound in our country. Now, I'm not being negative. I'm just simply saying that we're starting to experience what other countries have experienced for quite a while. So, after talking about the conditions, there are a number of warnings. There are a number of warnings in Scripture. And so the title of this message is, Are You Living in a State of Expectation and Readiness for the Second Coming of Jesus Christ? That's probably the longest title I put on anything ever, but it's right to the point. Are you living in a state of expectation and readiness for the Second Coming of Jesus Christ? I believe you are. I believe everybody in this room is. You're his ambassadors, and you're living that way. And I just witness what I witness every time I come here. Well, what else do I have to give? Because we've gone through everything this morning. You know, we've had deep worship. We've had everything from prophecies to you name it. You know, visions, everything. During, you know, we've had it all. And you have it all to share it all. You have it all here to share it all. This is a very special place. In the heart of God. Believe me, it is. It is an honor to be here. It's an honor to be here and share with you. So, I believe that this emphasis, the second coming of Jesus Christ, we know several things about it, don't we? First of all, we know no one knows the hour in which it's going to come. I'm 74, and I've lived through a bunch of these things on January 31st, whatever year, whatever time, whatever. Go to the mountain there because Jesus is coming back again. Has that happened? No. No one will know when he's coming back again. Secondly, it's going to happen suddenly without warning. Suddenly without warning. Okay. Thirdly, there's no second chance. We can't do like we do as people. Well, I missed it, so I'll get busy, get working, and next Friday, you know, I'll have the chance again. It's Not that way. In fact, all throughout the New Testament, there are these warnings to be ready. And I be excited about it and be living the life that God wants you to be living. Now, I believe the emphasis on getting ready for the second coming of Jesus Christ is not to strike fear into us. Forget it. God is not the author of any fear whatsoever. We know that. We proclaim that today. So put that aside. What he does want to do is lead his people into a place where they are growing and maturing in him. Where we are experiencing the intimacy that God wants us to experience with him. Where we are just so in love with him that he's able to do what he wants to do in our lives. He gave us the ability to make decisions so that we can make the decision to love him. Yeah. And I have to tease him sometimes because he gives us lots of chances to say, to grumble and complain. And that is kind of like, okay, Dave, you know, suck it up. Get going. Do you still love me? Yes, Lord. You know I still love you, right? And he takes us through. He's there with us. We don't go through anything without him. We are so blessed. Many Christians who've asked Jesus to become their Lord and Savior are not experiencing that. So they need to be about our Father's business, okay? That's a calling that's on our lives right now in America. And this is the hour. That's why we're here. That's why we're alive. That's why we're gathered together. And there are pockets of people like this all across the country. And so what I believe is that he wants us to have that lifestyle with him. Because it's not a matter of works. See, you could give a message about this. And somehow we got to roll up our sleeves and get ready. Okay, we're not going to have the fear, but we got to get ready. Well, let me tell you something. We do have to get ready, but it's not of works. It has to do with growing in the Lord, growing in him, falling in love with him deeper and deeper, listening to him, all of that. So what can we do to stay in a state of expectation and readiness? Well, let's talk about attitude. Because unfortunately, this is what's happened in America to a lot of believers. Happened before. Let's see now. Okay, now, reading these warnings that are after the signs or the conditions. No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. This is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. And then it goes on and talks a little bit about it. Now, what were they doing in the days of Noah? Well, they made fun of Noah for over 100 years, I think. He would tell them, he would warn them, he would do all of that, and they made a joke out of it. And I'll tell you right now, when you go out and you start to share this, we need to be ready. We need to be expecting. We need to be growing in the Lord and maturing. There's going to be people who are going to make fun of you. Do you realize that it has slid in our country to the point of the second coming of Jesus Christ isn't relevant? I'm serious. It isn't relevant. No, it's not relevant. We need to be preaching from the pulpits different stuff that helps our people, that deals with real problems that they have every day in their life. Yeah. And so you don't hear many messages about the second coming of Christ. Now, I'm going to read something that I wanted to read earlier, and I didn't do it, but I want to read it now because it's important to whoever we're sharing with that these warnings are there to give us hope, to give us comfort. I preached at many funerals, more than I want to remember, and I can't think of a one that I didn't read this scripture. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, starting with 13, the coming of the Lord. Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep with him. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are still left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. That means basically have died. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command and with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still left alive, we're here alive when he comes back, we will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. We will be with the Lord forever. We will be with the Lord forever. There will be no separation from that point on. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. So at funerals, we remind ourselves that our brothers and sisters, parents, whoever that knew the Lord, we're going to be with them together. We're going to be with them together. We're going to recognize them. We're going to have glorified bodies like Jesus had. Evil is not going to be allowed to be there. It's not going to be allowed there. You read Revelation 21. I encourage everybody to read that every once in a while and get a kind of a glimpse of what it's going to be like. It's hard to put everything exactly in place, but there's tremendous encouragement when we read scriptures like Revelation 21. Because there's no more pain, there's no more suffering, there's no more evil. We're going to be with God, and he is going to be our God, and we will not need a sun, because his glory is so bright. So literally you don't need a sun. Because the glory of the Lord will be there. And we will be worshiping and serving God. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And so these warnings are given to encourage us. Basically, don't miss it. We got a wonderful, wonderful for you. Don't miss it. So we're not going to miss it. And we're going to do all we can to help others not miss it. Now, I want to go back to the attitudes. Because the first attitude, one of mocking, ridiculing, and being caught up with everything in the world and living that way. All the pleasures of the world, everything just going along that way. Christians don't do that. Well, they can slide towards it. They can slide towards it, and hopefully God shakes them, awakens them, and pulls them back. All of us have had that happen, haven't we? Because he's there to bless us, to have that relationship with us. So that's an attitude we can't afford to have. And we don't want anyone else to have. Now, there's another attitude. Let's read down further. Get back to Revelation here would be good. I mean, back to Matthew. Here we go. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have left, though his house, he had let his house be broken into. Also, you must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at a time and an hour when you do not expect him. There's an attitude of carelessness. An attitude of carelessness. Oh, well. I'll examine my life. I'll see where I'm at. I'll get to it. But it's not very high on my priority, because there's a lot of other stuff that have come up on my priority. And so you can start going through life with an attitude of carelessness towards the second coming of Jesus Christ. And we definitely do not want to do that. I don't think I have to talk any more about that. There's a third attitude that's warned against. Who then is the faithful and wise servant who the master has put in charge of the servants in his household to give them the food at the proper time? It will be good for the servant whose master finds him doing so when he returns. I tell you the truth. He will put him in charge of all his possessions. There are rewards in heaven. You can find some of them, and it's true. But suppose that the servant is wicked and says to himself, my master is staying away a long time, and he then begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with drunkards. The master of that servant will come on that day when he does not expect him, at an hour when he's not expect him and aware of. He will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the hypocrites where there are weeping and gnashing of teeth. A place that the scripture talks about a lot. More so than heaven. And that's hell. Because God does not want anyone going there. God's will is for all to be saved. All. So, we can become hardened to the second coming of Christ. Calloused, if you will. It's been a long time. He hasn't come. I got lots of time to go ahead and get ready. Right now, I'm going to be enjoying myself. It's like people talk about, I'm going to receive Jesus just before I die. Because I want to have a blast here. Right? You've heard that attitude. You've seen that attitude. And people have that attitude. Also, think of the sower. The parable of the sower. Seed fell on the path. Seed fell on the stones. Seed fell where the thorns came up there. And the only seed that came up and lasted was where it fell on good ground. And it multiplied. Maybe there were only a few seeds, but the area became green. You know, that's what he's trying to say to us, to think. You know, the power of God. So, now, as we nurture the right attitude by reminding ourselves of the hope we have in being with Jesus Christ for all eternity, where we dwell with God, as we do that, and as we remind ourselves of, you know, these and other spiritual truths, belief and faith are stirred up and reinforced in us. So if we share some of these things, people want to know, what's in it for me? If ever there was a generation, what's in it for me? Let's tell them. Let's start with telling them what's in it for them. Okay? Well, in order to do that, we have to continually be refreshed, like we were praying for today. And so what happens is, as we do this, belief and faith are stirred up in us. in our minds, down into our hearts. The stuff that we were starting to entertain in our minds, we push away. We know it's not there. We know it's from God. We don't want that there in our minds. And our hearts become more and more the way God wants them to be. More and more love. More and more just true to God. And in love with God and in love with people. Now, in the Bible, we have interesting things in there. I don't know if you've ever thought about this or not. But in the Bible, we've talked about warnings. Now we have, we have commands, even in the New Testament, don't we? Yeah. I want to show you how subtle this could be. Because God was reminding me of my... See what I want to look at here. Okay, that's gone. We'll get this organized. We stay on the right track. Okay. There are commandments, Matthew 22. One that we know well. It'd be the first thing we would say about commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. This is Jesus speaking. So, I've always felt like God didn't, he didn't eliminate the Ten Commandments and our responsibility to live them. He took us beyond that. And if you go to the Sermon on the Mount, it'll blow you away when you look at that. Because it takes every commandment that was spoken, it takes it deeper, more spiritual. Things you can't do without the Holy Spirit working in you. We don't grow and mature without the Holy Spirit working in us. And as we allow Him to work in us, we do grow and we do mature. And I remember when I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, there was a big controversy out there. Well, is speaking in tongues, is that the evidence? All this stuff, you know, if you haven't spoken in tongues, then you didn't receive it, you know, blah, blah, blah. Well, I'll tell you what. The first thing I noticed is I loved people that I couldn't stand before. I loved people that I wanted to get out of their presence. That's it, man. Well, I'm not at this party anymore. No, the love was there, multiplied. Okay? Now, I grew up in a church that was going liberal. It was growing liberal. Yep. I didn't understand that at that time. My parents did. We finally left. But this is what they said about that. So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. There is a difference between the two. Both of them are absolutely true. We have commandments. But it's very easy when all you talk about is the second one to begin sliding. Because Jesus was extremely direct. In the other case. Now, he spoke in both these cases. But I just wanted to show you that because we need to take the totality of the scriptures. And that's the reason I'm saying that. We need to take the totality of scriptures and look at them. not form an opinion or something on one verse. Now, another thing is, because back in my day, that verse was quoted as much as Don 3:16 is today. It was. The circle is where I was at. So, and I didn't hear of John 3:16, I'm sorry to say, until I was an adult.
say something?
Praise God.
Okay,
I'm going to be wrapping up quickly, but I wanted to get in these last thoughts. Because I believe that you're living the life that God wants you to be living and growing and maturing, all of you in this room. I truly believe that, but I am concerned about how to reach others. And so I'm reminding you that in the scriptures there's commands, there's instructions. Take your stand against the devil. You know, and all the spiritual things. You know, evil, spiritual. And stand. 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 So as we go out to share, stand. Now, I didn't know this until I read recently, but the shoes, since he was talking about the armor, the shoes that they wore were like we would call football spikes or golfing spikes or whatever. That you pushed your foot down and you were solid. So you could battle and not be lose your balance. See? So when you put on the armor of God, you put on all this stuff to go out and stay balanced and stay strong. There's promises that are just plain promises. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Nothing can separate you from the love of God through Jesus Christ. Nothing. So, those are promises that are there in the Word. Then there's the promises that come with a condition. I'm going to pick on one that people don't like to talk about very much. So, this is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, forgive us our debts, and as we also have forgiven our debtors. Lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive men when they have sinned against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your heavenly Father will not forgive you of your sins. That is the biggest thing that I see everywhere. It's hard for all of us to do. And that is when we're really offended on something, to forgive. And so, God gives us opportunities to grow and mature. So these things come along. Think about this. This is an opportunity to grow. This is an opportunity to mature. I don't know how I'm going to do it. I can't do it myself. I have the Holy Spirit inside me, working inside me. So I can choose to forgive that person. And I can make sure I'm forgiving him regularly. God, I'm continuing to forgive him. Keep doing the work inside me so that it's fully manifested. You get that? Fully manifested. And as that happens, we're growing. We're growing in the Lord, see. But that's a promise with a condition. We need to follow Jesus in having private devotions, private ties with God. We're going to be out there in the marketplace. We're going to be working. We're going to be sharing biblical truth, different things throughout the day. If we have our private time with the Lord, it will continue throughout the day. When I'm talking about a private time, I'm talking about a time of worship and praise. Thanksgiving, praise, worship, you know, it grows. And then to being still before him and listening. If we listen in our private time, we've got a good chance of listening to God throughout the day. But if we say, no, I'm too busy, I got to do this first, point to make the coffee, that's probably about the way a lot of our day is going to go, too. Reading the Word of God out loud, We could do it through going through books of the Bible. We could do it through daily devotionals that have scripture references. So we just don't take the... And I'll give you a hint. Whenever you're reading a commentary, read the scripture first. That was the very first thing I was taught in Bible school, was read the scripture first. Then look at the comments made it. So if you got a daily devotional, we need to read the scripture first. And God put that finger on me as I was preparing this. Because I would say, oh, I know that. No, we're going to read the scripture first every time now when we go through our daily devotional. Okay, and then read what was said about it. But anyhow, we put on the armor of God, committing our life to the Lord. All those things prepare us for going out. And that's following Jesus. Reading out of Luke, one of those days Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. When morning came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them, whom he also designated apostles. There's other places where he withdrew from the crowd, went across the lake, if you will, and sea or whatever, and went up in the mountain and prayed and spent time with God. Sometimes he came back from there and says, I have to move on. I got all these people, man, hey, this is going really good. I could just see those around him saying, why? I have to move on because God told me I have to move on in that quiet time. So he followed Jesus and having that private time. As we walk through the days, we have opportunities to share the good news of Jesus Christ and help those around us spiritually and physically. Dave, you said it wasn't about works. I want to drive this home. It's not about works. But we do have that passage in James, don't we? Mm-hmm. All I got to do is find it. I know it's in the Bible. There we go. Faith by itself, if it's not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do. Out of gratitude. Not because we have to, but because we love him. And every day we serve him, we do whatever we're going to do to further the cause of Christ in an attitude of gratitude. I'd like to pray over all of you right now. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this room full of your ambassadors. And I pray, Father God, there'll be something from this message that will encourage them. I pray that there'll be new revelations on how to reach people, not only from this message, but as you talk to them, as they seriously consider how to reach these people in the day we live in. And I just pray, Father God, that there will be an anointing by every single one in this room to share the good news of Jesus Christ and to help people that have slid away, come back to him, help people that never knew him, know him. Thank you, Father. I know that's your will, your perfect will. So we thank you and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.